Chapter 4, The Great Day of Atonement, Leviticus chapter 16, verses 3 through 33. The order of the type and its antitypical significations. The bullock, the priest, the entrance of the holies with the blood. The incense, the sweet odor, and the stench. Entering the most holy, the Lord's goat, the scapegoat, the blessing of the people. The Day of Atonement as a type should be considered as separate from and yet a part of and related to other tabernacle types. Indeed, these types are each separate pictures, so to speak. Each has its own subject and teaches its own lessons, and yet all are in agreement, parts of one gallery and harmonious as the work of one great artist. In all of them, we are to look first for the head and then for his body, the underpriests, the church. To understand the significance of the Day of Atonement and its work, we must realize that while our Lord Jesus personally is the chief priest to the underpriesthood, the gospel church, his body, yet in the more full and complete sense, he is the head, and we are the members of the body of the world's high priest. Just so, Aaron was chief over his underpriesthood, while really, in its general and proper sense, and representing the underpriests, he was ordained to minister as high priest for all the people of Israel, the typical representatives of all humanity, desirous of having atonement made for their sins and to return to divine favor and obedience. As the consecrating of the antitypical priesthood includes all the members of the body and requires all of the gospel age to complete it, so also with the sin offering, or the sacrifice of atonement. It commenced with the head, and we, the members of his body, fill up the measure of the sufferings of Christ which are behind. And these sufferings require all of the gospel age to complete them. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, Romans chapter 8, verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7, and chapter 4, verse 10. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 10. The Day of Atonement, which in the type was but a 24-hour day, we see then in antitype to be the entire gospel age, and with its close the sacrificing ceases, the glory and blessing begin, and the great high priest of the world, Jesus and his bride, made one, head and members complete, will stand forth crowned a king and priest after the Melchizedek order, a king of peace, a priest upon his throne. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 10. There he will stand before the world, manifest, recognized, but unseen by natural sight, not only as king and priest, but also as the great prophet. A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, Moses. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. When, during the millennium, under the government and teaching of this great prophet, priest, and king, mankind is brought to perfect knowledge and ability, perfect obedience will be required, and all who will not render it will be cut off from life without further hope, the second death, Acts chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. In the end of the Jewish age, Jesus offered himself individually to Israel as prophet, priest, and king, typical or illustrative of the offering of the whole body, the complete and glorified Christ, to the whole world. As prophet, he taught them. As priest, he offered up himself, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27. And as king, he rode into their city at the close of his ministry. But they did not receive him in any of these offices. During the gospel age, his church or body has acknowledged him as a teacher sent from God, the great prophet, as the high priest of our profession, and as the rightful king. The Word of God teaches, however, that it is not by the church only that he is to be accepted, but that he, together with his body, the church, will be the prophet for all the people, the priest for all the people, and the king over all peoples, nations, and tongues, Lord of all, priest of all, and prophet or teacher of all. In the consecration of the typical priests, we saw Aaron and his sons representing our Lord Jesus and his body as new creatures, and a bullock representing their humanity. But in the type now to be considered, we find Aaron alone representing the entire Anointed One, head and body. And two different sacrifices, a bullock and a goat, are here used to represent the separateness, yet similarity in suffering, of the body and its head as the sin offering. The first Atonement Day sacrifice, the bullock. The bullock represented Jesus at the age of 30 years, the perfect man who gave himself and died on our behalf. The high priest, as we have already seen, represented the new nature of Jesus, the anointed head and all the members of his body foreknown of God. The distinction which is here made between the human and new creature should be clearly understood and remembered. Footnote, Scripture Studies, Series 1, Study 10, and Series 2, page 126. End of footnote. The man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself at 30 years of age, was he who previously was rich, of a higher nature, but who, for our sakes, became poor, that is, became a man, that he might give the only possible ransom for men, a perfect man's life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21. Since the penalty of man's sin was death, it was necessary that our Redeemer become a man, be made flesh. Otherwise, he could not redeem mankind. A man had sinned, and the penalty was death. And if our Lord would pay the penalty, it was essential that he should be of the same nature, but undefiled, separate from sin and from the race of sinners, and die as Adam's substitute, else mankind could never be liberated from death. To do this, the man Jesus made sacrifice of all that he had. Glory as a perfect man, honor as a perfect man could claim it, and finally, life as a perfect man. And this was all that he had, except God's promise of a new nature, and the hope which that promise generated. For he had exchanged his spiritual being or existence for the human, which he made a sin offering, and which was typified by the Atonement Day bullock. John chapter 1, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10. But since the man Christ Jesus gave himself as our ransom price, it follows that he cannot be restored to that manhood which he gave. If he were to take back the ransom price, we, the redeemed, would again relapse under the condemnation of death. But, thanks be to God, his sacrifice remains forever, that we may be forever free from Adamic guilt and its death penalty. If, then, the Father would ever confer upon Jesus any honor, glory, or life as a reward for his obedience, even unto death, it must be a glory, honor, and life on some other plane of being than the human. Such was the design of Jehovah for Jesus, namely, that he would highly exalt him above the human plane and above his prehuman condition, above all angels, principalities, and powers, to his own right hand, condition of chief favor, next to Jehovah, and make him a partaker of immortality, the divine nature. For these and other joys set before him, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. The new nature which our Lord received instead of the human nature, and as a reward for its sacrifice, is what is here typified by the priest. While it is true that the sacrifice of the human was not finished until the cross, and that the reward, the divine nature, was not fully received until the resurrection, 3 days later, yet in God's reckoning, and as shown in this type, the death of Jesus, the bullock, was reckoned as complete when Jesus presented himself a living sacrifice, symbolizing his death in baptism. There he reckoned himself dead, dead to all human aims, to hopes of human glory, honor, or life, in the same sense that we, his followers, are exhorted to reckon ourselves dead indeed to the world, but alive as new creatures unto God, Romans chapter 6, verse 11. This acceptance of Jesus' sacrifice by Jehovah at the time of his consecration, as though it were finished and he dead indeed, was indicated by the anointing with the Holy Spirit, the earnest or guarantee of what he would receive when death had actually taken place. Thus considered, we see that the death of the bullock typified the offering by Jesus of himself when he consecrated himself. This is in harmony with the Apostle's statement respecting Jesus' consecration or offering of himself. He quotes the prophet saying, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God, as in the volume of the Scriptures it is written of me, to die and redeem many." There, says the inspired writer, he took away the first, that is, set aside the typical sacrifices, that he might establish or fulfill the second, the antitype, the real sacrifice for sins, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 7, 9, and 14. Yes, there the slaying of the sin offering, typified by the bullock, occurred, and the 3 years and a half of Jesus' ministry showed that all human will was dead, and the human body reckoned so from the moment of consecration. The anointed Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit at the moment of baptism, was the divine new creature, though not perfected as divine until the resurrection. And that relationship he always claimed, saying, "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself as a man, but the Father that dwelleth in me by his Spirit, he doeth the works. The word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." John chapter 14, verses 10 and 24. "Not my will, as a man, but thine, Father, the divine, be done, in and to this earthen vessel consecrated to death." Luke chapter 22, verse 42. The bullock was slain in the court, which we have seen typified the condition of faith in and harmony with God, the highest attainment of the flesh, the human nature. Jesus was in this condition, a perfect man, when he offered himself, the bullock in the type, to God. Let us bear in mind these distinctions while we examine carefully the work of the typical atonement day, that we may more clearly understand the antitypical realities. Aaron was washed in order, fitly, to represent the purity, the sinlessness of the new creature, the head and his body members. No one who has been begotten by God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he has been begotten by God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, Diaglot. The new creature cannot sin, and its duty is to keep a constant watch over the old nature, reckoned dead, lest it come to life again. For the old will to divide the control with the new implies that the old is not dead, and that the new is not overcoming. For the old to triumph would signify the death of the new creature, second death. Aaron was clothed for the service of the Day of Atonement, not in his usual garments of glory and beauty, but in garments of sacrifice, the linen garments, emblems of purity, the righteousness of saints. The robe of linen was an earnest of the glorious robe to follow,